Hey, my name is Robert Main. This is Accelerated Christian Training School. And this course is a study of the book of Acts. And welcome students that are here, guests, and also those who will be listening either via video or online classes. Look forward to just an exciting time of looking through this book. For those who actually are taking a course, I don't know how much. We do have a study manual that goes with this course, and you are required to do the study questions, and we'll try to do, I haven't looked at it enough to say how many, but get started. Okay, and just fill them out. If you want to keep the book open while we're having discussion, and if, you know, some of those little questions get answered, because the way this book is formatted, there's a small bit of writing and then there's study questions. If you can, you know, I don't want you to lose focus on the class, but if you can fill it out while you're there, I'm okay with that. And so I want to make sure that. I want to say to Jerry, Jerry, you owe me a phone call. I've called you twice since you left, and you haven't returned any of my calls. You haven't texted me, and so I'm calling you out. All right. Okay, to begin with the book of Acts, I want to start by more or less setting a stage. And as we set this stage here in this beginning time, it may cover a couple of periods of time. What we're going to do, there's a lot of chapters in the book of Acts, and I actually only have 10 classes or 11 classes. So we're going to do two 45-minute sessions per evening is the goal. I'll try to keep the time on that and keep it as tight as I can to that. Okay, so just keep in mind the stage. I just want to open by just a few brief statements. Let's just go ahead and turn there, chapter 1 of Acts. I'm going to be reading tonight from the New American Standard. I've lost my New King James, which is a translation that I like to use when I'm teaching publicly. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Okay, the I here is Luke, who is the author of the book. Theophilus, we don't really know who he was. I did some research on it, and the name means friend of God, and it doesn't say who exactly he was, or, you know, he says, it just doesn't give us a real sure definition of who that was, but we do know that the writer is Luke. It's not a continuation of the book of Luke, it's two separate accounts that he wrote, having finished the one. And then he wrote the other. And so the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up. And if your Bible says to heaven, it's in italics. Those words are not in the original transcript. So in the day he was taken up, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. Okay, to these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking things concerning the kingdom of God. That's as far as we're going to get in this first chapter or in this first session. Just a brief, kind of nuts and bolts type thing about the book of Acts. It basically covers a period of about 38 years from the day of Pentecost unto, or from that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came unto the last record of that we have of Paul. In chapters 1 through 12, it can be characterized as what I call like the Holy Land or the land of Judea witness, because most of those chapters are concerning Paul and the apostles who walked with Jesus, and some who we don't know whether they did or not, but nevertheless, they their work was in the basic area of Judah. And then chapters 13 through 28, which talk about Saul, who became Paul, and his journeys to evangelize the rest of the earth. Okay. Now, let's go back to verse 3. This is where we want to start. And we need to lay, we want to set a stage, because I want to say emphatically that this is not just a set of stories. And it's so, so much more than even the events that happened, because of the time because the change that had come upon the face of the earth that the earth had never seen before. Okay, and so let's just read verse 3. To these he also presented himself. Okay, so Jesus, to his apostles, didn't present things. He presented himself, and that's real important for us to get a hold of, because that's who he presents to you and I, okay? He presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of things concerning the kingdom of God. Okay, so the point is that Jesus presents himself and the kingdom of God, okay? And we need to keep these things in mind. All right. We need to understand something that is paramount, not just to understanding the book of Acts, but understanding the entirety of the scripture and without a proper understanding from the beginning, then everything else is wrong. You know, in other words, everything else will be wrong. I'll tell you what I mean. Okay. We need to understand that the most cataclysmic event that would ever shake the universe shook the universe just a short time before the Acts of the Apostles, if we say it. If we want to say it like that, I want to say it's the acts of Jesus through his apostles. Can we look at it like that? Okay. The kingdom of man, the kingdom of darkness, and I'm convinced by Scripture that there's no difference between the two. That kingdom had just been shattered, had just been decimated, destroyed. But you have to understand that that destruction was a spirit and soul matter, okay? Let's look at Ezekiel 18:20 if you have your Bible. Verse 20, if I have it written down correctly. And once again, translations, They get it wrong. This word, in my Bible, it says the person who sins will die. And of course, we know there's truth to that. But yes, it should be translated to soul. The soul who sins will die. Okay. And so what we need to understand that this is a matter of the soul and it's a matter of the spirit. Okay. Think about this. A kingdom of souls governed by the imagination of their heart, governed by intellect, by their own vain thoughts and imaginations in relation to serving God, in relation to everything. But we need to also realize that man's total summation of serving God, of knowing God in any fashion or form, was through the vanity of their minds. You know, and we have a few whom God handpicked down through the ages, who recorded things in this Bible, who may have had a better understanding, but the overall picture is that the vanity of man's mind and heart was what governed his thoughts concerning God. Okay? It was his thoughts, okay? Man's deceitful heart, even in relation to God-given instruction, was nothing but utter destruction, utter corruption, rather, from the beginning. If you look at when God first began to deal with Israel, the corporate man, if you will, they utterly corrupted everything that came to them, so much so that by the time that Jesus came to be manifested in the flesh and came to his own, they had no way of recognizing him because of the vain imaginations of their heart. Okay. But consider further. Even that which truly spoke of God, the law and prophets, which could only in a type or shadow speak of the true God, had been put away. I'm just going to wait. We're waiting on Lizzie to lock the door. So in other words, everything that the old covenant spoke of, everything that had been written for the past 4,000 years concerning God, concerning the things of God, concerning heaven and all worship, whatever name you want to put that is a relationship with God, they were only types and shadows, okay? They could only speak briefly of that, but by the coming of Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, even those shadows had been put away because the person of the shadow appeared, okay? The fullness of time had come. So now even time itself, as in to having significance in and of itself, was now fulfilled. Okay? If you don't understand that, all I can say is get in Scripture and dig a little. It's to be no more. And even death itself, okay, which men lived in fear of their whole lives, had been destroyed. Okay, this is the stage for the kingdom of God. There's utter ignorance over the face of the earth. Okay, Jesus, in 3.5 years of ministering on the earth as Emmanuel, had only a small group that had gathered unto them. And quite frankly, at this point, at the beginning here, when we begin to talk about the book of Acts and those actions which took place after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, they were still in great ignorance themselves. And all you have to do is just look back and read the account on the road to Emmaus, okay, and realize that those guys were walking, they had no concept of what had happened, okay? And so neither do these men, okay? But you need to understand that that God had obliterated the kingdom of man, the kingdom of darkness. It is a done deal. It was a done deal then, and it continues to remain that way now. Why is it so hard then? I mean, I just, if we look about at modern Christianity, is not much different, I don't think, than when Jesus came to his own and they could not recognize him, all right? We need to think about this for a little bit. The kingdom of God had come. But let's think about it this way, okay? Consider just one of your habits, okay? We'll just pick one habit that you basically have had from the time that you were old enough to, you know, set a pattern until now. Taking a shower, okay? Hopefully, we all take showers pretty regularly. And more or less, you probably take a shower in basically the same way every time. You know, let's say, you know, so whatever your pattern is, think about the exact opposite of that and reversing that habit. So that, let's say, the thing you start with first now gets washed last, and the thing that you wash last gets washed first. Okay, and how hard would just this one little habit be to change? You see what I'm saying? Because it has been ingrained in the way that you do things since the time you were old enough to stand up and take a shower. Okay, now consider4,000 years of mankind living habitually by the vanity of their mind and hearts, living in a kingdom of old, a kingdom of renown, a king governed by me, even though I may not even be aware that I am the king of this kingdom. I'm still the governor, you know, when it comes to when it's in relation to me. Because I'm enslaved to whatever bent that sways my own personal part in this kingdom, the kingdom of man, the kingdom of darkness. Okay, now, you know, let's think about, we could look at our history books and think about what happens when a new king comes, when a people are conquered, okay? And just the turmoil, you know. We think it's bad now, but there's things going on in the news right now, threats against the United States from this little bitty island that, it's not an island, but from this small country that has big boasts. But through the ages, think about how many times power has changed hands and what happened to the peoples, you know. And I mean, we think that atrocities happen now, but back whenever they didn't have the modern weaponry we have, They killed everybody with swords. They linked them all together with chains by their neck, or they even pierced their bodies with piercings and made them line up in great long human chains, transporting them from one place to another. Okay, there is some real evil things that happen. And you know, it wasn't a ride in a paddy wagon to some place. It took weeks if you were being moved from one place to another. And you know, I mean, Solomon says, you know, Solomon says either in Ecclesiastes or Proverbs, I think it's Ecclesiastes, don't think the former days were better. Okay. And I say that emphatically because we live in the day of Christ. I'm a little off track, but I want us to consider, like, when kingdoms were conquered, what that was like. The thing about this kingdom, consider a new king governing a completely different kind of kingdom. One that has never existed before. One that offers freedom from enslavement of the mind and heart. Freedom for the soul. And whenever I say that, you know, I could say so much right there, because we're going to be either a slave to sin and death, or we're going to be a slave to righteousness. But one is by the Spirit and the other one is the flesh. I'll just stop right there. It offers freedom from the enslavement of the mind and heart, freedom for the soul. But the thing is, just as the soul is the inward part of man, hidden, so to speak, from what we look at externally when we behold each other, this new kingdom is one of spirit. It's one that is not seen with the naked eye. Okay. This kingdom is a kingdom that in great measure can't be experienced by the sense realm, by the five senses, except first it touched the soul. And if it touches soul, then there can be a manifestation of that kingdom, which can be observed by the senses. It's only after a soul experientially partakes of this kingdom that there can be an outward manifestation. Okay, so the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of sin and death, shattered by the kingdom of light, of righteousness, yet, except for the event that was the external crucifixion of the man Jesus, the experience of this in mankind is to be internal and individual. Okay, so you see, a kingdom is a corporate thing. Yet, if a king, a violent king, comes and conquers, he subjects everything that he conquers in one fell swoop, so to speak, you know. And you know, yeah, there will be rebels and everything, but if he's, you know, if you look at one example that we have that we're real familiar with if we search the scriptures, King Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, he conquered everything. If you know anything of history, Alexander conquered everything, okay, and made everything subject to him. This kingdom operates differently, for it does not force anyone to become its subject. It will not force you to subject yourself into it, but only by your free will can you accept this king and his kingdom and be made a member of it. It's the free will acceptance of the reign of this king that allows you to enter its gates. And this is an eternal kingdom. Okay, this is the stage. This is what has come upon the world. And, I mean, you can look back in the Gospels. Excuse me. You can look back in the Gospels and see how that Jesus himself spoke of these things and no one could understand what he was talking about. Okay? And so, but we have to keep these things in mind as we begin to go through the book of Acts, or what it will happen is it'll just be a series of stories. This guy did this, this guy did this, this guy did this. But the book of Acts, that 38 years that is the events of those 38 years are much greater than a series of stories, much greater than a bunch of people, you know, believing in the man who is God, who was crucified and rose again, Jesus. It's much greater, for a kingdom is being established. Individual by individual, one by one, okay, coming from a kingdom of death, a kingdom that in all appearances to the natural eye still exists, okay, from a kingdom that does not appear to be conquered. From a kingdom that has unbelievably strong holds, that's not what I want to say, that has people locked in it so tightly, they are so bound up that it seems nearly impossible to escape. In fact is, this kingdom of darkness is so deceitful that many have no idea that they're in bondage. Okay? So the book of Acts then is a story about how this kingdom begins to increase upon the face of the earth. We need to understand that according to the scripture, and you know, we could go several places, but let's look in Ephesians, just the first chapter of Ephesians. Because we've come to a person whose name is Jesus. He is the king, but he's also the life of this kingdom. And we're just going to read, we could read the full first chapter, but look. Now, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints who are at Ephesus, who are the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless in love. He predestined us to the adoptions of sons through Jesus Christ himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. Okay? And I could go on and on, because it's saying in him, by him. It's all in relation to this one who came, was crucified, and rose again. This one who was God. And is God, but became man. The thing that we have to keep in mind is, for those of us who are familiar with what we do here at Accelerated Christian Training School, and those of our fellowship, and those who are joined in this ministry in various ways. There's many in all different places. We must view this book as we view every other book, and that is with the understanding that the carnal mind is enmity against God, okay? With the understanding that we must have a revelation of Jesus Christ, not a revelation. Christ must be revealed in the believer. If there's anything, if you don't get anything else out of this whole book, will you put this in your mind and in your heart and in your mouth, in your prayers, that you must come to the revelation of Jesus Christ, okay? And that revelation is what brings you from the one to the other in the understanding of your heart and of your mind. What is done in Christ is done in Christ. It's a fixed thing. It is real. But in the modern religious world, there are many false Christ. The Bible says it that way. There are antichrists. The Bible says that, okay? In other words, things that are not the life of it, okay? If we do not study the book of Acts with the understanding that that crucifixion, it's not my intention here like to teach the revelation of Christ or to teach all these things, but we have to keep at the forefront of our thoughts that we are crucified with Christ, that we are seated in the heavens, that our natural mind cannot understand the things of God, but they must be spiritually discerned. And as we will read shortly, we have that spirit. It is the very first thing that basically happens after Christ's ascension. He says, look, don't do anything. Don't do anything at all until the coming of the Spirit. Because if you do, what's going to happen? You're going to go off on tangents in the vanity of your mind, and it will not be me. Okay? So I want to say this. I've read the book of Acts a lot, you know, and it's just like, yeah, this story, that story. Man, they did this, they did that. But we must come, because this is part of the testimony of Jesus, the witness of Jesus. We must come with that same heart that we come to every bit of the Bible with, if indeed you are seeking the truth as it is in Jesus. If indeed you are seeking to know the one true living God in spirit and truth, and are not willing to settle for religious counterfeits of him. okay? And they exist so prevalently in our society. They have all along. This book is going to give some accounts of the falseness that goes right alongside with the spirit. But you have to consider that what's happening here, because this is the church in its infancy, and this thing, this nuclear bomb, so to speak, if you will, that has shattered forever the kingdom, has happened. It's nothing like this will ever happen again, but the results of that have a small beginning, and then it begins to grow from there. But we have to look to the true results, because if we don't, we'll be just like the Pharisees, who are unable to recognize their salvation when it comes. Okay. And so the eyes of our heart must be opened. The eyes of our understanding must be opened, you know, and we must view this book as all others in the Bible with that point of view. And so we will begin now to go through the book of Acts and look at the manifestations of Jesus through his body in its infancy, you know. And as we look at it, sometimes, you know, I'm not sure exactly how things go. We may just at certain points read and discuss. I'm not exactly sure how exactly it's going to go. I just kind of know what the Lord's given me for this point in time, and so we'll go from there. But let's just take a minute and pray then about this class and these things I've spoken about this evening. Father, we just come and say thank you for sending Christ, your Son, and thank you for your eternal plan, and that from the beginning you knew that you would have a kingdom of sons in one Son, Lord. And there's so many aspects of that, and there's so many just awesome things that happened in the beginning so that this church, which the gates of hell could not prevail against, would be established, Lord. And so just keep our minds and our hearts tender as we go through this time and this book, and consider the events thereof and those things that you were doing. And Lord, let it, even though these events happened so long ago, let the life of what you've written here be made manifest in us. I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, we'll take five.